If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too go crazy for Daisy, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, just thinking about or currently planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and currently your planning is more Tragic Kingdom than Magic Kingdom, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of magical times. And this week, we get advice of what you can do when you have a spontaneous but very quick first-time visit to Walt Disney World from our guest, Alex.
I would have had the energy to do that, but everyone else was like, no, I'm too tired, I don't want to go.
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and if you're about to head over to Orlando, everything you need to know to make your trip even more magical. And make sure you keep in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we always answer your planning Q&As every week. If there's anything on the back of your mind, maybe you think it's a silly little question, but it helps to make choices or make your holiday better, send them over. Do my best to answer it. PodMagical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like Dawn has done. They're looking at going next year, and they've got a family with 3 kids. My eldest son is 12 years old. Now, we're looking at some of the rooms over at Walt Disney World. They say they sleep 5, but is the 5th sleeper big enough for a teenager? These are the ones, so you'll get like 2 queen-size beds, so like 2 massive double beds, and then there'll be like a pull-down bed. If you look at the Walt Disney World website, I think they say 9 and under, so it depends. I mean, if you could be a very, very tall 7-year-old or a very, very short 15-year-old. And how many nights are you going to sleep on there for? Just have a look at the measurements. I think it does say under 9, but you know the length of your own kids. It is difficult though, isn't it? But have a look at the Art of Animation. Art of Animation have got some family suites. That's well worth looking at as well if you're looking to keep the family in one room. Darren has messaged me on Instagram, wants to know the best time of the day to meet characters. We're always talking about rope drop for rides, but what about character meeting? Again, rope drop is a really good time to go and meet the characters. In fact, last time I went to Magic Kingdom, they open at 9. The park opened at 9. Rope drop was at 9. But if you want to go and meet Donald and Daisy and Goofy and Minnie over in the Big Top, that meet and greet only started at 9:30. So I got there just before at 9:25. And something quite magical happens. So rather than you queuing outside and then they just open the doors and let you in, 9:30 on the dot, there was kind of like hammering on the door. The doors flew open and the characters came out to greet you and let you inside, which is just a wonderful thing. So that's well worth doing. But yeah, if you want to meet characters, rope drop again, like you would do for rides, is a great time. Unless, of course, you want to do a character buffet. Always good as well. And if you've got little kids and getting up and down to a buffet and trying to time it so you can get up to get food before the characters come over, always look out for the ones that say they that serve food family style. Because when it's served family style, the food comes to you. So breakfast at Ahana, if you want to meet Stitch and Mickey and Pluto, that's served family style. And Garden Grill over at Epcot with Chip and Dale and Mickey and Pluto, the food comes to you. So if you've got little kids, you'd have to keep getting up and down to the buffet and trying to time it with characters coming and going. But there you go. I've kind of gone off on a tangent now. But yeah, the best thing to do if you want to meet characters, rope drop or as soon as they open, or maybe do a character buffet. We are here for your answers to your questions. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Same place to go if you want to be a guest on the show, like this week's guest, who's only been to Disney World once, and it was brief and it was quick, but maybe he's got some top tips for us. So, Alex, tell me about the time that you went to Disney World. What did you love about it?
Really, I've only been a few times, actually. I went as a child, but recently I went last year and when I went to Magic Kingdom, I really liked seeing the whole Main Street USA and the castle. But I preferred seeing Animal Kingdom, actually, because I went down and saw the tree.
Oh, the Tree of Life.
Yeah. And then I think we went through Asia or whatever, and then we went to Expedition Everest first, which was absolutely amazing.
I think there is something about the theming of Animal Kingdom, isn't there? I think with it being the most recent one over in Florida, it's just, I think it's just that little bit more immersive.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see Hollywood Studios and all that, because I'm definitely more into, you know, films, and with Galaxy's Edge opening, that would have been really good to see. But out of the two parks that we managed to do in the time, I definitely preferred Animal Kingdom, yeah.
So it was a bit of a flying visit last time you went then?
Yeah, yeah, because we went to see family in New Jersey, actually, and then flew over to Florida.
All right, how near is Walt Disney World to New Jersey?
It's like a two-hour flight from Newark Airport.
Okay, so it's not that far then, if you consider from the UK over to Orlando.
Yeah. Like, but the flight was really cramped because they overbooked and I had to like squish, and I'm, you know, around 6 foot, so it wasn't very comfortable.
So do your family in New Jersey, do they go to Walt Disney World quite a lot?
Well, we have family that work there. So someone works there, and then they got us like park hopper passes. And
okay.
So we would have been able to, you know, go to more than one park in a day. I would have had the energy to do that, but everyone else was like, no, I'm too tired, I don't want to go. So sadly, we missed out on seeing the park. So it was a bit of a whistle-stop tour.
Do you know what I would have done, Alex? I would have said, okay, you go back, I'll go on my own.
Yeah, I'll go on my own.
I'll go on mine. I have actually done the four parks in one day challenge. And yeah, it is quite exhausting.
I'd imagine so. Luckily, with you know, Walt Disney World, there's all the transport methods, so monorail and all that. And
actually,
we did manage to do the monorail. It was very, very busy, but on the night of Magic Kingdom, we managed to do the monorail, just the last thing. It was so, so busy.
So did you say you got 2 days in,
we had 4 days overall in Florida,
right,
and then 2 days in the actual parks.
So when it comes down to planning that, then, when you know that, like, you know, some people go for 2 weeks and it's still not enough, when you're going for 2 days, how did you plan that?
Well, I knew about the big rides. So I knew, you know, Space Mountain, Expedition Everest, and sadly we didn't do Splash Mountain because when we were there at Magic Kingdom, we didn't have that much time and it was quite rainy as well. So we did Space Mountain and we managed to get the Fast Pass for that. And then we came out, it was like a 3 hour queue. So Space Mountain, I did really like that, but you have to remember to get all your fast passes and all that done. I didn't sort any of that out. I kind of just followed everyone else, and my sister was planning all the fast passes with our little cards. But yeah, I'd say definitely get your fast passes booked. And if you're booking a longer trip, so like 2-3 weeks, get your fast passes booked for like dinner reservations and rides as early as you can, really.
What's your favourite attraction, shall we say, shall we call it? What's your favourite attraction?
Out of everything? I really liked Haunted Mansion. We did that at night just before Happily Ever After with the projection show in the castle.
Yeah.
So me, my dad and sister, we all did Haunted Mansion. And I really liked that because of how the whole ride system works. And I was quite interested in the whole, you know, mechanics behind the thing. And then, but the day before when we did Animal Kingdom, the whole experience of Expedition Everest just blew me away. I know that, you know, the Yeti doesn't work anymore, but it's the most expensive roller coaster in the world. And
yeah.
I found that fascinating. The whole giant themed indoor coaster part, and then there's the rest outside, and all the stations and music was amazing.
So are you a bit of a roller coaster geek then, would you say?
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a coaster enthusiast. I've already said my favourite coaster there was definitely Expedition Everest, because it's a more rounded experience rather than just you get on the coaster, you get off it, have a good time. But I'd say Disney aren't very big on coasters now, are they?
They're not, which is kind of part of the charm. A lot of people ask me, say, well, why should I go to Walt Disney World when I don't like roller coasters? Well, there's more to Walt Disney World than coasters. And the coasters they have got, have, you know, it's a theme about it. So maybe there's more of those in the pipeline.
Another coaster themed to, I don't know, maybe one of the older Disney films, like the animated classics, that would go down quite well.
Well, we're getting a new Mary Poppins attraction that was announced at D23, but they haven't really said anything about that. I have a funny feeling it could be a walkthrough attraction.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
In a way that they've done at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge over at Hollywood Studios, some of the attractions there like building the droids and lightsabers, they are not actually rides or roller coasters. They're more of an interactive experience.
Yeah, I saw loads of videos on it with people making their lightsabers. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. First Order might find out.
Yeah, they're making, what is it? What do they say if you go to Galaxy's Edge? You don't build a lightsaber.
Scrap metal.
Yeah, I'm looking for somewhere I can build scrap metal. And then you kind of like give them a wink. I love that whole theming that you're getting, getting into the part.
Even the actors, sorry, the cast members are like in on the secret. They kind of rush you in and make sure no one sees you. And then they let you in on the whole secret where they're building lightsabers, and then it looks like a really great immersive experience. And it is an experience. It's not just a whole 10-minute you're left on your own lightsaber. It's, I think, what, 20 minutes?
And there's a whole emotional story that goes with it, with the music and everything else that gets about. And then the new Rise of the Resistance, people are going crazy for it. People are saying it's just next level. Alex is our guest on a podcast this week. Stick with us. I want to find out how, when you did a 2-day rush visit to Walt Disney World, what you did for food, whether you sat down at table restaurants or you snacked. So we'll get some more with Alex in a sec. Well, let's catch up on the news now. And the brand new Cirque du Soleil show at Disney Springs has a name drawn to life. It's going to be opening from the 20th of March for preview. The official opening night is the 17th of April. It's been described as the story of Julie, a courageous and determined girl who discovers an unexpected gift left to her by her late father, an unfinished animation piece. Guided by a surprising pencil, she embarks on an inspiring quest sprinkled with her Disney childhood memories. Through this journey, she learns to imagine new possibilities and animate the story of her future. Cirque du Soleil is always incredible. And combining with Disney animation, I think this is going to be a really special show. Not too long to wait, just a few months before that opens over at Disney Springs. And there's a brand new Spirit jersey we can get because there is a new colour at Walt Disney World. You know, it was all about Arendelle Aqua, and before that it was Potion Purple. Well, now it's all about Belle of the Ball Bronze. You can get loads of stuff in Belle of the Ball Bronze. So, you know that Spirit jersey you had that you thought was on trend? No, there's a new one now. Belle of the Ball Bronze is the new colour. All the latest news from the parks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. So let's talk about food. You're only there for 2 days. Did you manage to sit down at any restaurants, or was there any restaurants you wanted to go to? How did you kind of like do everything in 2 days and manage to eat?
Not at any of the restaurants, though. We did just bring a packed lunch just because it's a lot easier with queues and that. But I've heard a lot of people say about the diner where you sit in the cars. That sounds really interesting.
The sci-fi diner.
Yeah, is that a Hollywood Studios?
It's over at Hollywood Studios. Although the person who was on a couple of weeks ago didn't like it. From the recommendations from the podcast we went to that, but it's a bit burger and chipsy. The food is very theme parky.
Yeah.
But the theme is very Disney. Mm. That's probably the best way to describe. Because you were there for 2 days, did you like to have to eat in the queues or eat while you're watching a parade or anything?
When we went to Animal Kingdom, we ate later because we went to the park later, actually, and then stayed till close. So I think we ate before we left and then just brought snacks and stuff with us that we had either on the ride. I think we ate during the safari ride or in the queues for something. I know we brought snacks with us whilst we were just walking around and taking the whole atmosphere in.
There is no time to stop and eat. You walk and eat.
No, it was a very whistle-stop tour. You could see everything.
Cramming. So where did you stay when you were in Florida? Did you stay on Disney or did you stay nearby?
Off property. It was the Orange Lake Resort. It was a kind of hotel. It was a Holiday Inn, actually. It wasn't, but it's not like how we have back in the UK. It's a huge resort with a bajillion pools. I don't know how many it had, but they laid on transport to the parks, but it was very close to the whole, you know, Walt Disney World resort area. So we just drove there and back, and it was nice to take in more of the area rather than just staying in Disney World and having that little bubble. As much as I would have wanted to, you know, stay on property and have the extra magic hours or early ride time, it was good to see everything else as well.
Yeah, and I suppose staying, isn't it, you've got that advantage if you've got little kids and you want to go back and have a little nap or a little rest, or maybe you got a bit too wet on the log flume or Splash Mountain and you've got wet shoes, you want to go back and change. I suppose you've got that if you're staying at Disney.
Yeah, after Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom, my sister and I were soaked after Cali River Rapids, and that's probably one of my other favourite rides there, because that was really good. We were all going to go on it as a family, so us four, but then we saw some people that came off, and then my mum and dad were like, no, you guys can go on that on your own.
Yeah, it's easy to see how drenched people are, but I've been on that ride before, and I've come off like totally dry.
Yeah.
It's really hit and miss, Cali River Rapids at Animal Kingdom.
The way it was working, like going up the lift hill even, there were water jets at the top, and that got us soaked before the ride had even started. So
Done for but the start of it. But I think they can actually, I know they can do this with Splash Mountain, depending on how hot the day is.
Yeah.
They can kind of like turn the water sprays up and stuff like that. They can purposely get you more wet than you have to.
Yeah, but it was a really enjoyable experience. I've only done a few rapids rides out of, you know, Disney parks. That's probably one of my favourite attractions.
So as a bit of a theme park geek,
yeah,
from your time at Disney, would there be any tips that you got from Disney that you would like to pass to other theme parks in the UK? What would your advice be to them?
I would definitely say try and invest more into like high capacity rides. So if you look at Haunted Mansion or even some of the coasters, the dispatch times are quite short. So on Haunted Mansion, the ride just keeps moving, so guests can keep going. It's same with Little Mermaid as well. It's an omni-mover type ride, so it just keeps going. There's empty seats for people to fill in. So the queue is never really that long for those types of rides, unless unless the ride like shuts down or something.
And what about the other way around? Was there anything that you saw at Disney that you didn't like? What changes would you make to them?
Oh, I would say... Oh dear, my cat's in the room now. Hello.
We've got a live cat on the podcast. This is a first.
I don't really know, because Disney's so perfect, you know.
There you go, and the cat totally agrees as well. Next trip to Disney then, Alex, what would your plans be? What are your plans?
Oh, I'd probably stay at one of the Disney property resorts as well. The All-Star Musical movies, I've heard a lot about those. At least 2 weeks there, and I've heard a lot about Be Our Guest. Yeah, so I'd want to get a reservation there and then get as many rides as I can do on all the coasters, get my credit count up. Really, I just do everything that Disney has to offer, you know, see everything, take my time with everything rather than rushing around like I did last time.
Yeah, your dream trip would be longer than 2 days.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe look at some of the other Disney parks. I know there's Tokyo and Hong Kong as well.
Yeah.
But that's even further. So,
Alex, lovely talking to you.
Thank
hopefully
you very much for having me on.
That your next trip to Walt Disney World is longer than 2 days.
Yeah, hope so.
Maybe three. We'll push it. We'll do three.
Maybe two and a half.
Yeah, and if it is 1 day, four parks in 1 day, there's your challenge.
Let's go.
There's your challenge. All right, Alex, for now, have a magical day.
Thank you very much. You too.
Like to join me as a podcast guest 1 week, get in touch. Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, same place to go where to send your questions as well. If you're about to head over to Orlando, it's going to start getting very busy over the next few weeks as we approach Christmas. That's just literally days away now. Also very busy over at Hollywood Studios, where the Rise of the Resistance, the new Star Wars attraction, opened last week. Now, at the moment, to get on the attraction, there's no fast passes, there's no actual queue system. It's boarding groups. So when you have scanned your magic band to enter Hollywood Studios, you can then enter to get a boarding pass. Now, these have been going like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. All the boarding passes for the day have been distributed. So if you want to get on Star Wars Rise of Resistance, you don't need to run to the attraction as soon as the park opens. You just need to get in and get on your My Disney Experience app and get yourself that boarding pass. The only way to do it is to be in the parks, okay? So you get, as soon as you've checked into the park, My Disney Experience, get your boarding pass, but you have to be in the park to get your boarding pass through My Disney Experience. Only one boarding group pass per day to ride Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, but it's coming back with some incredible reviews. I can't wait to see it myself next year. I did try and stay away from YouTube so that it would be a surprise and I could see it firsthand, but I gave in and it does look amazing. Talking about new things at Walt Disney World, this coming Monday, the 16th of December, a brand new resort opens at Walt Disney World, the Riviera Resort, which is a DVC resort, which is kind of like their version of timeshare where you buy points throughout the year. If you want to see what that looks like, there is a live ceremony over on YouTube at Disney Parks Live, doing the live opening ceremony for Riviera Resort, which opens this Monday, 16th of December. Elsewhere around Walt Disney World, obviously, Christmas has arrived. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is on at the moment on select nights up to the 22nd of December. And then that Christmas parade that you can only see at the moment during the Christmas party, that becomes the regular parade for that week around Christmas. So that's going on at Magic Kingdom. Loads of stuff over at Animal Kingdom with the Tree of Life Awakenings and Christmas at Pongu Pongu. Epcot have got the Festival of the Holidays and the Candlelight Processional with people like Gina Davis narrating the Christmas story. I think this weekend is Alton Fitzgerald White, who was Mufasa on the Broadway Lion King. So the candlelight procession is happening. It happens about three times a night. Probably the best thing to do with that is get the dining package. Otherwise, you might want to queue for 3 hours just to get in there. But it does look phenomenal. There was a live broadcast of that over on YouTube with Neil Patrick Harris. You can still see that. Disney Parks are keeping that up until Christmas if you want to get in the festive spirit and see what happens at Epcot. And over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is one of my favouritely decorated parks at Christmas, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam and Sunset Seasons Greetings and the holidays in Toy Story Land. So there's loads going on and there's loads of Christmassy food that you can get, like Yule logs, and it's just great. And I wish I was there right now. I wish I was there for Christmas, even though it's going to be very busy and quite cold. Temperatures in Orlando at the moment are hovering anywhere between the low 20s to the mid 20s. It looks quite cold, but some clear blue skies and not bad weather. Don't forget, if you are going to the parks, tag us. Tag and brag, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical, especially if you're doing your Insta story. Just tag us in a few pictures. We'd love to see that, and then we can share it, and we can all feel like we're with you, and we'll get very jealous. Andy's top tip of the week this week is when you go to Animal Kingdom, spend some time walking around the Tree of Life. Now, we've seen the Tree of Life. We've all had a photograph taken by the iconic massive tree in the middle of Animal Kingdom. But have you spent time just walking around it, walking around the roots and looking at the actual tree itself? You can walk all the way around it. I know most of it is in the queue for the Bugs Life 3D film, but there are 350 animals all carved into the bark of the tree. It's spectacular when you get up close, especially if you've got little ones and you can try and spot all the animals. Like, there's horses that then turn into the branches of the trees and the roots of the trees, and it's just brilliant. So much detail goes in. The Imagineering that went into that is phenomenal. And I think it's goes unappreciated sometimes. It wasn't until recently when I properly investigated and spent a good hour just taking photographs and looking at the actual animals that are carved into the Tree of Life. So that's my top tip of the week this week, is spend a little time going and having a look around the Tree of Life. If you've got any tips of your own, do let me know. We can share them. Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Yes, we have a regular podcast every Friday, but there might be another one dropping this week. So don't miss it. You need to hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could hit that review button, leave us a nice review, leave us 5 stars, that'd be brilliant. That just helps people find us a little bit more. So thank you very much if you have done that. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.